Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Infinite Snap. We have a massive show for you this week. As anyone that's been playing Marvel Snap knows, this is a big week for the game. Tons of new content. We even have a bunch of news here at Infinite Snap that we're really excited to share. We hinted at some of it on last week's episode. I am still currently on holidays, but we're getting an episode in. I do get back home tomorrow, so next week we should be back to our live streams, back to regular scheduled programming. Justin, how you been?
Been pretty good. I'm excited that we've got a new season of Marvel Snap because I wasn't playing a hell of a lot. So I'm keen to get into the new features.
Yeah, so tons of new stuff. We have new cards. We've got new season pass. It's pretty nuts. So we're going to go through the brand new card of, we've got MODOK is the season pass card. Pretty cool card. I played with it a bit today because it did just release today. Having fun so far. Patch notes from last week we're going to go through. The patch dropped pretty much the day we dropped this episode, last week's episode, so we didn't get to go through that. We've got some news about a tournament that we are going to be running through Infinite Snap. That tournament, we will go through it. It's going to be a free tournament, so anyone can sign up. It will be very time-friendly for Oceania, so you it'll be great for people in Australia, New Zealand, on this side of the world. So definitely sign up for that. If you aren't in Oceania, even if, you know, if the time still suits you, feel free to sign up. But we're going to go through all those details later. We've got some interesting information about some premium podcast content. We kind of hinted at that last week as well. So we're going to go through what that actually means and what it means for the listeners. It's quite exciting. And don't stress, Infinite Snap Podcast will always be free. We've just got some things in the works. And I wanted to mention, now that Battle Mode has finally dropped, Justin, have you been playing a bit of Battle Mode?
I haven't been playing a whole lot of Battle Mode, but I have tried out a few matches. It's fun. It's good to verse mates.
It's definitely fun, and it's great for us here at Infinite Snap because we can finally run some tournaments. So we're going to be running regular tournaments. We're going to live stream them. It's going to be tons of fun. If you are looking for anyone to play against in Battle Mode, if you join the Infinite Snap Discord, there's a channel in there for people to drop their codes. Some people have been dropping codes in there. I'm happy to play a game or two against people when I am not busy editing the podcast. Cool, so that's everything today. Let's get straight into it because there's tons of content to get through. Doesn't sound like much, but I'm looking at the notes and it's a big show. Awesome, so let's go through the featured locations for this week. Justin, do you want to start? We had Plunder Castle was the first featured was the featured location. So we had that for 48 hours. And do you remember what that reads?
Yeah, Plunder Castle reads, only cards that cost 6 can be played here.
Yep.
So it was a bit of an annoying location to have for 48 hours, but like it wasn't so bad. It just like if it gets paired up with things like Sanctum Sanctorum or like other locations where you can't play things, it's extremely frustrating. But now that it's just thrown into the pool of locations that you'll randomly get, I think it's fine. Like it's a good location.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where it's frustrating while it's in the in so many games, but then after it's completely fine. I didn't have any issues with it. I felt like I dropped I've been posting those images on the Infinite Snap Pod Twitter account, showing like what sort of cards to use. So obviously cards that let you play cards at that location. So things like White Tiger, Doctor Doom, things like that made it really easy to get into those locations. So you don't necessarily have to play a card there on turn 6. Did you play any special deck for the location?
I've been having so much fun with my Zabu deck, so I continue to play that. But I did unlock Shuri with tokens during the week, probably just after our last podcast. So,
Nice.
What was good is playing Shuri on turn 5 and then playing like a Chavez at Plunder Castle on turn 6.
Yes, for sure.
So she was getting to 18 power, which was outdoing anything my opponent was doing pretty much. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's actually a neat combo. I had Shuri pinned in my store because it's obviously now it's Series 4, so it's a little bit cheaper, but I'm kind of still like on the fence. Not on the fence that it's a bad card or anything. It's definitely a very good card, but I feel like there might be cards on the horizon that I would rather spend it on.
Yeah.
I feel like Shuri's, I feel like I'll probably end up just getting Shuri anyway, but I kind of just want to see what my store ends up refreshing, to be honest. Cool. And then.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like it's going to come back around. Like I don't need Shuri urgently or anything for a deck. Onslaught Citadel was the hot location. Now we've had Onslaught Citadel as the hot location before, because I pretty much played, like I remember playing similar decks, with Onslaught and, you know, just really abusing, Onslaught Citadel. Patriot does really well there. Dino decks do really well there. I ended up playing Zabu, which I reckon you would have as well, because it's just silly. All your four cost cards become one cost. It was kind of disgusting.
The problem with playing Zabu on Onslaught Citadel is like you don't have enough cards in hand to play.
So
because
this was,
four cost cards end up being one cost, and then you just end up pretty much playing out your whole hand.
So this is why it was disgusting to me, because basically I was either playing Zabu there, or if I had Zabu and Enchantress in hand, I played Zabu somewhere else. And then on turn six, I could play three, four cost cards. I'd play Dracula, something else, and then I would Enchantress Onslaught Citadel and just shut down whatever my opponent had there. They might have had Iron Man, Blue Marvel, and it was disgusting. It really was. I felt bad pretty much every game.
Yeah, so with Onslaught Citadel, it's like it's just so gross when like it's the hot location, because your opponent can just abuse it so many times with an ongoing deck, like every time.
Yes.
And that being with like an Iron Man or what's it called? What's the guy that buffs the other locations?
Omega Red, yep.
So like just stuff like that. And when it's coming up in every game, it is a bit annoying. I do find it pretty annoying.
Yeah, I think the thing with the hot location, 60% of games, like it's coming up more often than it's not in games.
Yeah.
So like higher than, it's more than every two games. So it's like, it does end up being a lot. So what you play, you get it three times every five games. Like that is basically almost every game you're playing. You can almost guarantee that's going to come up. So it's one of those things where it's really easy to build decks around it. The featured location at 40%, it doesn't feel as bad because you're seeing it less often than you're seeing it. So it's kind of like, yes, you're going to see it more regularly, but it's not almost every single game. So yeah, hot locations, I know it's only 24 hours, but if you grind out that 24 hours with like a really like streamlined deck for it, you can, deal some damage, hey?
Yeah, but I do like the hot location and the featured locations. I just feel like it's like, you know, obviously with all games, there is, with card games especially, there is a meta.
Yeah.
And this just like takes away from always seeing the same decks, because obviously a hot location will change the meta for a day. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think it's the only,
I do really like it.
Apart from getting like a new season pass or like a balance patch, it's pretty much the only time the meta changes.
Yeah.
Like when I say changes, obviously people come up with new decks and strategies, but it's the only time like there's a big shakeup is when we get a new card on the season pass. Obviously we get new cards weekly now, but it doesn't really matter when people can't really access it en masse. Like you might get Shadow King, but how many people are testing Shadow King decks?
Yeah, correct.
I think it definitely does. Hot locations and featured locations are a way to shake up the meta during the week. Because like you and I, we play other trading card games and, you know, a new set comes out and then for the next 2, 3, 4 months, the meta literally does not change.
Yeah, and it can be annoying. It can be super annoying.
For sure. So, but then like there's the argument, well, if things are changing too fast, then how am I supposed to learn the meta? So it's part of Marvel Snap. We're getting used to it. People aren't complaining about it anywhere near as much as they were. I think people are just accepting it for what it is and enjoying them. So yeah, that was Onslaught Citadel. Had fun with it. No issues. It makes Zabu even more disgusting if he wasn't already.
It's actually crazy. I can't like, yeah. I still can't believe Zabu is a card.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this multiple times. Any card that lets you play other cards cheaper is generally going to end up broken. Sarah's was always a powerful card in beta, even now, and Zabu was just that, like, turned up to 11. It's like, let's take Sarah and make it, like, twice as strong. Sounds great. Yeah. Cool. Okay. We've got new season pass, of course. What was the name of the season pass? Actually, I've got the image here. I know it's the Quantumania season pass. Let's have a look. Into the Quantum Realm. Yep. So, of course, this is... So they didn't do this initially during the beta, lining up with, you know, Marvel MCU content. But we did have the Black Panther season around the time of Black Panther's movie. We've now got the Into the Quantum Realm season pass pretty much lining up almost perfectly with the new Ant-Man and Wasp movie. So it's it seems like that's kind of the new theme going ahead.
They should definitely flow with that. If they've got a movie coming out, they may as well make the most of it and release a new card, if they can, that goes hand in hand with the movie. It's like just a good opportunity. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think I remember when She-Hulk came out, everyone was speculating She-Hulk's going to be in the new season pass, and then it ended up being Daredevil, and people were like, oh, this seems like silly. Strange. Why didn't we do She-Hulk? But I think they're kind of hit their stride now, and it makes sense. Like I can go to someone and say, hey, Marvel Snap, try it out. It's you know, it's all about, you know, the quantum realm this month, and they go, oh, what the heck? So, yeah, I think
everyone who goes to watch the movie may see an ad and then, yeah, feel a bit more of a connection to it and maybe give it a go, the game a go, instead of just, you know, seeing a random ad for a game pop up with, like, no connection to it at all. So it's good marketing.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Good marketing. So the card that we get with the season pass, of course. So that's the season pass. It's, of course, it's MODOK. Going to be featured, spoilers, I guess, going to be featured in the new Ant-Man and Wasp movie. So this is MODOK. It's a 5-cost card, 8 power. On reveal, discard your hand. What's your first thoughts on the new card, Justin?
First thoughts are I am pretty happy that we're getting another discard card. When I started playing Marvel Snap, the original like discard deck is one that I had so much fun with, and probably got me to infinite a couple of times early on. Probably once you start unlocking, you know, once you get into the pool 3 or series 3 cards, you know, you fall off the discard decks a little bit. But I was pretty happy when I saw MODOK's ability. Having a look at it, like, discard your hand, you know, and it's a 5 cost, so you're obviously not playing that until, you know, towards the end of the game. So I see potential, but I don't see it changing discard decks dramatically. You know, I don't see discard decks being the top of the meta, like Silver Surfer and like Zabu the past two seasons that we've had. But it's definitely a cool card.
Yeah, maybe not at Zabu level, but I've got the MODOK deck. I've got the spice for yous on the podcast.
Ooh.
I played this deck today. I'll show you the deck list in a moment. This deck has existed for a while and it's always felt awful. Yep. And now I feel like I'm going to play it for the whole season.
Really?
Yeah. So MODOK,
I'm keen on discard deck. So let's have a look at your deck And because I had a deck as well that I was thinking of, but I want to see yours.
So I saw some ideas floating around and I kind of threw some other cards in here. I kind of mixed a few decks that I've been seeing people kind of craft over the week. And this is what I settled on testing today. So it is basically a hella discard deck, but you don't have to play it like a hella discard deck. Hella is kind of like your fail safe in a way. So you've got Morbius because you're discarding your whole hand with MODOK. So just easy buffs. You've got Invisible Woman to try and hide your discard cards. You've got Lady Sif, Swordmaster, Hellcow to discard. You've got Dracula. So the cool thing with Dracula is we've got Apocalypse. So Dracula, of course, can take Apocalypse. If you discard your whole hand with MODOK, Apocalypse stays in your hand, of course. So you've got Hellcow, MODOK, Hella. So then all 6 costs from there on. Hella, Apocalypse, Giganto, the Infernaut, and Death. So your main strategy is you want Invisible Woman. You can play your other discard cards there, but really you go MODOK and then Hella. As long as you don't get Cosmo, you pretty much play your entire hand onto the board at the end of the game. It's nuts.
Yeah, we are.
So Invisible Woman hides MODOK. MODOK, like I had games where MODOK discarded Giganto, Apocalypse, the Infinaut, Death, brought them all back. Then Dracula came back, took Apocalypse. Like it's pretty insane.
Yeah. I really have to give. I honestly haven't played with the card just yet. I've been super busy today, so I'll have to grab that deck and give it a go.
So the cool thing is, so yeah, like Hela decks are usually super RNG, which of course this still is because you want Invisible Woman, MODOK, and Hela as well. Of course, you could play MODOK on turn 5, discard your whole hand, and hope to draw Hela on turn 6. You can kind of Hail Mary that way. But there's games where, let's say I don't get Hela, you know, I might play, so I got Dracula out there, I get Swordmaster, Hellcow, like I discard a bunch of cards. But Apocalypse gets discarded a bunch.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, Apocalypse can get to like 20 plus and then Dracula can still take Apocalypse and you can still win the other locations with your other cards. So it's kind of, you can still win games even if you don't get Hela out. Obviously Hela is like your main win condition, but there was games where like turn 6 I played Giganto, turn 6 I was able to play Death if a few cards got destroyed, and then you still have Apocalypse in hand for Dracula to take. So it's like a Dracula Hela deck, which has been around forever, but MODOK all of a sudden makes it just able to play all your cards.
Makes it better, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like groundbreaking or anything, but it was super fun to play for like the couple of hours I played it. I feel like you could add Helicarrier in here. I don't have it. But instead of Death, you could play like Helicarrier. That gets discarded, adds 3 random cards to your hand. Mm. MODOK discards them all. So there's a lot of potential. I wouldn't mind trying this with Helicarrier. Maybe, I don't know if I want to spend the tokens on it though, just for this deck.
Yeah, I feel like Helicarrier will drop into series 3.
Yeah, eventually, like not long. Yeah, so I think I might hold out. But yeah, so that's the MODOK deck. I'm sure there's going to be other ways to play it. I saw some people playing it with Strong Guy because you discard your hand, so he always gets 10 power. There's some interesting strategies, but I'm having fun with this one for now. I'll keep tweaking it and working on it as the weeks go by. But yeah, so that's my MODOK deck.
That's pretty good. I was thinking of a couple of
ideas.
Synergies that go well together are ideas. So like Morbius, I guess, is a must that goes into a MODOK deck because you're discarding a whole lot of cards. Morbius gets +2 for each card discarded. I'm also thinking like potentially Wolverine, just because he's going to get discarded and he's going to end up on the board after he gets discarded with +2 power. So he'll become like a 4-powered card for free somewhere on the board.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then, like, the other one, like, the other synergy is probably still Colleen, Wing, and Swarm. I'm not saying a Hela deck. I'm just saying all of this card deck. So
yep.
Colleen, Wing, and Swarm, I guess, like, the reason why you would have those in there is because if you can discard Swarm once or twice, then you're buffing your Morbius up, and then obviously MODOK will just come in and discard however many Swarms you have in your hand. So I guess...
I think that works pretty well. I think the only issue would be if you have like 2 or 3 swarms in your hand, MODOK's going to like completely fill it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might not be able to draw turn 6.
I do see that potentially as an issue. And then obviously like Dracula is a massive one, like that Dracula Apocalypse combo.
Yeah, Dracula Apocalypse.
If you're doing a normal, if you're using a normal discard deck, you would have to go Dracula, Apocalypse, and America Chavez, just because...
Yes, I was about MODOK to say...
will discard all your cards on turn 5. Apocalypse will, like, be massive, hopefully, by then. And then you want to draw a big turn 6 card, like Chavez, single game.
So I was going
to
mention, if you're not playing Hela, definitely throw Chavez in there. Chavez is, like... I played a deck similar to that, and, yeah, you definitely want that 9 power card on turn 6. And then Apocalypse gets taken by Dracula. That's been a deck for, you know, many, many seasons. So I think it's a cool card. Having fun with it so far. I'd love to hear what the listeners' thoughts are. So, you know, tweet at us. Let us know what you think of MODOK. Is it a good season pass card? Is it super broken? Are we missing something? So happy with MODOK. Let's have a look at the season pass. So MODOK, there's a really cool MODOK variant there. We've got 4 weeks for the season pass, so same as every other season pass, 50 levels of rewards. I bought it straight away, as I always do. I think it's great value, the season pass. Yeah. Very exciting season. Ladder rewards, so the rewards have gone back to how they were in previous seasons. At level 100, infinite rank, you do get a card back this time. So they actually changed it this season to, so halfway through the season, they mentioned that if you hit infinite, you would get a gold card, a Zabu card back. So that was kind of like caught everyone off guard because we thought all of a sudden infinite reward card backs had gone, but they are back this season. So I think it's going to be a thing ongoing from here. What do you think of the artwork here? So we've got a, it's like a sand timer with MODOK's eyes. It's pretty cool. I don't think it's super flashy, but I think, you know, it's nice to have, I guess, a card back to show that you hit infinite.
It's cool to have a card back to show that you hit infinite. I just think, like, you know, we're getting that card back in the season pass, and then you are unlocking like a gold variant of that card back once you hit infinite.
Yep.
To me, it just kind of feels like, not a cheap way out, but like, I just feel like, you know, if you hit infinite, I think it's like a pretty big achievement to hit infinite like every season or like for a season.
Yes.
I feel like they could just, I know in other games you don't get much, maybe for hitting like, you know, legendary rank and stuff like that. But
Justin wants like 1,000 gold.
Nah, not 1,000 gold. I feel like if they're going to do a card back, then they should do it how they did it originally and make a proper card and do like a unique card back. Not that we're already getting in the season pass.
Yeah, so because this is like a, so the sand timer is gold instead of blue. So like it's just like a, I guess, but when I think about it, like trading cards, you have the base card and then you have the foil version of the card. Like it's the same artwork, but it's a fancier version.
I know. I think it's just because we've had that in the past. It's like,
yeah, you're used to it.
Downgraded us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like you're missing something.
We shouldn't
something.
Be going backwards. Yeah, it feels like we're missing something.
Well, Justin, you can start doing the card back artwork. Start sending Marvel.
I'm happy to start doing the card back artwork.
Send Second Dinner some card back artwork and they can use that, I guess.
I'll do that.
Cool. So, I think people will be like, we'll see what people think about it being the same artwork but with some variations. Do people want a brand new card back? I don't think it's a big issue. I mean, it saves. It doesn't bother me too much. It's just a bit of a flex, like, hey, I hit infinite this season.
But it's better than the title.
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone would agree with that. Cool. So a few other things to go through for this season. And don't worry, guys, we are going to go through the patch notes from last week because we had some very important things happen there. We are getting 3 new cards this season. So Zabu, of course, next week will go will be added to pool 5. So if you want Zabu, if you didn't get him in the season pass, you can you will be able to unlock him. There is going to be a nerf coming that's pretty much been confirmed. Zabu and Silver Surfer, when we had last week's patch, they did mention that they were looking at them and they were going to be changing them. So we're going to get that very soon. So first card that we are coming out, I think it was Feb 14th next week, is Ghost. So ongoing, your cards are always revealed last. So it's a one cost card, 2 power. Your cards are always revealed last. Their on reveal abilities happen last. Interesting card. So what's your thoughts on this one?
I'm just rereading that. Ongoing. Your cards are always revealed last. Oh, yeah, they're on reveal. Yeah, obviously. So Ghost is a card. I haven't seen any of these cards yet, by the way.
Yeah,
only Ghost, probably. And Ghost, I recognize, obviously, from Spider-Man. I'm pretty sure Ghost is a Spider-Man character. But secondly, when Shadow King came out, everyone was talking about Shadow King decks and what Shadow King will go well with. And then one of the big conversations was like, you know, Shadow King needs to be, you basically need or you want your opponent to have initiative for Shadow King to work properly. And a lot of people were saying that obviously the card had been data mined, but obviously people were saying that Ghost was like the solution to that. So that basically goes for any on reveal card that where you want your opponent to have initiative and you want your on reveal ability to happen second. This is where you want Ghost in your deck, so you don't have to rely on who's got initiative. You can just chuck Ghost in instead. It's only one cost card, so you can play Ghost like early on, and then basically all of your on reveal abilities happen last. So I think it's actually a really good card.
Yeah, I think of things like we've got cards like Enchantress is an on reveal and it removes ongoing, so you want that to happen last. There's like turn six, things like, you know, if you want a turn six Shang-Chi, like, you know, if you're expecting an Apocalypse to get played, things like that, you want to be revealing second. So it's kind of one of those things where it fits into a deck where your strategy is to go second. You always want to be revealing last. So it's an interesting card, but I think you're right. It's more of a way to enable other decks.
Yeah.
Like you're not go for it.
I feel like an issue that may arise with Ghost is like, or an issue that I can see is like, if Ghost is a bad card, then it's just a bad card and no one will play it. If Ghost is a really good card, similar to what we had with Daredevil when Daredevil first came out, if Ghost is a really good card, then everyone, I guess once they get their hands on it, everyone will want to play Ghost, and then the ability will just negate itself because both players have played Ghost, and then it'll go back to initiative. So I don't know, cards like this, it's like a catch-22. Because like I said, if it's unpopular, then no one will play it. If it's popular, then the ability doesn't really matter. So, but it is a cool tech card.
Yeah, you're right. Daredevil was in the beta, so a lot of play, you guys wouldn't have been around for the Daredevil season, but when you both have Daredevil on the field, they just negate each other's ability, which is basically what happened for the first week of that season.
We
all were just negating each other, and turn five was just a normal turn. So, Ghost is the same.
Yeah, but the main difference is Daredevil was a season pass card, so everyone had access to it straight away as long as they paid for the season pass, whereas Ghost, as we've always said these days, you may not see Ghost for a while even after it comes out.
It's so funny when a really like lackluster card that, you know, no one's spending tokens on it and it appears in a deck and I get it zoom in on my screen and say, new card that you've never seen before.
And
I'm just like, I actually have never seen this in game. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny when that happens, because it shows how little we, like the card could be out for like weeks to a month and I still haven't seen it in game. Cool. So that's Ghost. Yeah. Ghost is a neat looking card. Next up, the week after, we have Stature coming out. This is a 5-cost card with 7 power. Costs 1 if your opponent discarded a card from their hand this game.
That is like that. This card seems crazy to me because last season we had Zabu as the season pass card. Every single card that came out in the next few weeks of the season pass, like synergized with Zabu. They were all 4-cost cards. They synergize great with Zabu. And now here we've got MODOK, which discards your whole hand, which everyone will unlock MODOK. And then we're getting one of the season pass cards with it, which is Stature. And it's basically like a counter card to discard decks.
I think it's interesting because you can actually enable this card yourself. So you can play Moon Knight. I just realized. Mm. So if you play Moon Knight, your opponent discards a card not like against their will, and then you get a 1-cost 7-power card.
Even Yondu.
Does Yondu discard the top card of your opponent's deck? Yeah, I guess it does. Yep.
Although it says if your opponent discarded a card, I guess they are discarding it. So I actually don't know how that's going to work.
Actually, now that you said that, I'm not sure either. Does Moon Knight actually enable? Yeah, does Moon Knight actually work? We'd have to look at the wording. That's interesting. I'm pretty sure the wording would be you discard a card, Moon Knight, like you discard a card, your opponent discards a card.
I think it's just like discard a card from your opponent. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but then does that... Yes, your opponent discarded a card, but you discarded it for them. So would that actually enable stature? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Second dinner, like the way that they word cards sometimes is not like counterintuitive. How it reads in terms of how other card games read. So yes. Moon Knight reads, discard a card from each player's hand.
No, so I would say your opponent... This is cost one if your opponent discarded a card. Well, they did. They discarded a card from their hand. They just didn't initiate it.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's interesting. Cool. So that's, stature.
It's the same thing of what we're talking about. You know, everyone's going to have MODOK, but not many people are going to have stature while the MODOK season is up and running. So that's maybe true. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think like MODOK will be like long gone by the time people are actually getting access to this card. Or like, you know, like en masse. And then the last card for this season is Kang the Conqueror. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people quite excited for Kang to be a Marvel Snap card. It is a 5-cost card with 0 power. On reveal, look at what your opponent did, then restart the turn without Kang. So this is... This is what, Daredevil, but on turn 5?
Pretty much. But it's that's what my first thought was. But then it reads differently. Like, Kang is a on-reveal ability. Daredevil is just one of those abilities that is not ongoing or on-reveal. And it reads, look at what your opponent did, then restart the turn. So I'm... Yeah, I don't know what to take from this card. Like, look at what your opponent did, then restart the turn. So does it work exactly like Daredevil?
Well, it says
do your opponent's cards, like if your opponent plays on reveal cards, do they actually resolve and then you go back and do your turn?
So it's interesting because it says look at what your opponent did, then restart the turn. It doesn't say restart your turn.
Your turn, yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's actually, I actually couldn't tell you exactly how this card works because I don't know what the use would be if your opponent also gets to do their turn again. So I'm assuming it's you see what they did and then you do your turn. So it's like, it is basically Daredevil but on turn 5. Like you play it on turn 5 so your opponent doesn't see it coming.
Yeah. Look, it's... If it works like Daredevil and it's a 5-0, it's a 5-0. However, you get to do your turn again without Kang.
That's correct.
So I guess like it can be stopped with like Cosmo and or like I don't know.
But you don't know it's coming.
Pulls it into a lane that gets discarded. Yeah, you don't know that it's coming. But like my point is, it's not the same as Daredevil. Even though the ability is similar to Daredevil, it's not the exact same.
I think this is better than Daredevil in the sense that it costs 5. It costs 5, sure, but it's essentially free because you restart your turn.
Yeah.
So yep, I see that. Yes, it takes up a slot, but it was also free to play.
Yeah.
So you basically you're basically seeing what your opponent did. It takes up a deck slot, sure. So you're losing one space spot in your deck. But you're also seeing what your opponent does on turn 5. It's a turn 5 Daredevil, essentially. I know what you're saying. It's on reveal. But chances are this is going to activate most times you play it.
Yeah.
So it's I'm trying to think of specific decks, though. That's the thing I can't really wrap my head around. Is it kind of like Daredevil where it can go in a few decks?
Yeah, possibly. I think the scary thing about this is, you know, Daredevil, you only see their turn 5 play, right? No matter when you play Daredevil.
But yes.
Kang, you can actually play Kang on turn 6, right? And then you get to restart turn 6 knowing exactly what your opponent did. That's what seems overpowered to me. Then you know exactly where to play to win the game.
What do you mean? Like if you did this on turn 6...
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I guess if you did this on turn 6, it would give you the knowledge.
You could play this on turn 6 plus a 1-cost card and then go back and restart the turn. Restart the turn means you get six energy again, right? Doesn't matter if you also play a one cost. That's how I read it anyway.
Yeah.
And essentially get to restart your turn. So there's so many games where, you know, you could win the game depending if you played your Chavez in location A or B. So instead you just play Kang. That's, so this is really simple, right?
Hear me
out.
You
just play Kang and then you know where to play it.
So hear me out. Turn six, you play Kang. Your opponent knows you played Kang. They see Kang's on reveal activate. Are they just retreating? You're just retreating. If your opponent's seen everything you've done and it's turn six and they haven't retreated, then you know that they think they're going to win.
Yeah.
So you're just retreating?
You're just retreating. Fair
or,
enough.
Or if you're like so...
You can snap beforehand, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But like, let's say you're... Say it's an eight cube game. Unless you're like super far ahead at... Like unless you're like plus 20 at all three locations... You probably just retreat and go, yeah, they've won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Right. We'll see how it comes out.
Stick with me now, right? This is big brain time.
Okay.
All right. What's the first card that comes to mind when you see something with zero power?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Negative, but I don't think it matters because it's...
It matters massively. Do you know why? Because even though Kang... Like Kang goes away and you get to redo your hand. You can play, if you do this on turn six, you can play a six cost card and a negative Kang, right? And then Kang disappears, but your six cost card stays on the board. Then you get to redo your sixth turn.
No, but this says restart your turn without Kang. So that card would go back to your hand.
Are you sure?
Well, it says without Kang. So if you're restarting your turn, so you're saying the six cost card would be on the board and also in your hand?
No, I'm just saying that the six cost card will be on the board.
But then there's no reason to have the wording without Kang because you've played it.
But then why is it only without Kang? I guess that's how they would have to do it.
No, it says without Kang because you could just play it over and over again. Yeah, no, I think you might be right. So you could play a six cost and Kang the Conqueror and then start your turn again without Kang.
Potentially, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like restart the turn means you redo your whole turn and you just don't have Kang in your hand.
Yeah, possibly. It'll be an interesting one.
It's actually... We've got more questions than answers, to be honest, seeing this card.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Cool. So that's Kang. I still have no idea how it actually works. This is the thing with Marvel Snap, because there's so many new mechanics being added and they're not like keywords. It's not like a game like Magic the Gathering where they introduce a new keyword and a lot of the cards in that set have the keyword. You understand it from like a rules level, because all of these cards have such outrageous rules. We don't actually know how they work till we get them.
Yeah.
And even when we get them, we still don't know how they work until we test it and something bad happens and you go, oh, that's how it works.
Yeah. Like it'll be really interesting.
It's actually like I think about other card games and you generally, based on the rules, know what everything does. But a digital game, you don't actually know how the interactions work until you see them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it'll be interesting. That's the only thing. It's like hard to know what something does until it does it.
It is hard to know because you say like restart the turn and like we've never seen that before.
I would assume that
any
would
other
include,
cards.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what that means.
That's right. I would
it
assume
it sounds simple, but like
restart the turn.
There's a lot more to it.
Restart the turn would tell me that my opponent would restart their turn as well, or like in any other card game.
Yeah, and like if on reveal abilities happened in that turn, then does restarting the turn revert those on reveal abilities?
My brain hurts. All right, that's Kang.
Yeah.
We're done. We will find out when he drops. Well, maybe we won't because no one will have him. cool. Let's quickly go through last week's patch notes. The patch did come out like shortly after the podcast was recorded.
Just quickly, we want to go through the locations real quick.
Oh, of course. How could I forget? So we've got the locations here. So we've got four new locations coming for this season that will be added. They will be the featured locations. First up, we have the Sacred Timeline. First to fill this gets a copy of their opening hand.
That seems insane.
It does,
like,
doesn't
not in a, it? Not in a good way or bad way, but just like almost like game breaking. Like, what does that even mean?
Well,
like,
I think
why would you want that?
Oh, because you play MODOK and then discard your whole hand. And then Haller brings MODOK. Them all back.
Discard, yeah.
What if you've got then, like two Iron Mans, okay. where you got like two Infernauts,
two, okay.
I get what you're saying. Like, why, like in most cases, you'd be like, why would you want this? Yeah. But I feel like there's specific cases where this is a good thing. Devil Dino, you just auto fill your hand. Things like the Collector, this would buff the Collector. Trying to think
what else.
Yeah, so I think like this could help a Devil Dino deck when you don't draw Moon Girl.
Yeah.
For like the featured location.
It's an okay location. It seems like a lot to me.
It could be bad for certain decks, like you don't want to fill your hand.
Yeah, well, it's probably bad. Nah, I was going to say it's bad for discard decks. Not really.
It's good for Zabu. Let's just get like 7 4-cost cards in my hand.
Yeah. Not OP at all.
Cool. So that's the Sacred Timeline. Then we've got Quantum Tunnel. When you play a card here, swap it with a card in your deck. So it's basically Lockjaw. It's a Lockjaw location. This is kind of interesting.
That's going to be really cool. You're going to see some top-heavy decks when Quantum Tunnel is a featured location. I'm actually really keen for that one.
That's going to be a weird 48 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of... what's the word? Doctor Doom. Lots of Doctor Doom's gonna be happening and cards like that.
Yeah, on reveal cards. Activate the on reveal, it goes in the deck, you get something better. Like White Tiger. Yep. I feel like White Tiger works well because you get rid of your one power card but still get the benefit.
Yeah, crazy.
Cool. Okay, so that's Quantum Tunnel. Then we have Camp how do I pronounce that? Would you say Camp Lee?
My brain wants to say Lee, but I would read it Lehigh.
I want to read it as Lee as well.
Yeah.
Add a random 3-cost card to each player's hand. Silver Surfer location?
Yeah.
I don't know what else this is.
We've got locations like this where it's like, you know, add a 1-cost card to your hand or add a random card to your hand. It's like, it's fine. It's just like a filler location. It's not going to do anything bad.
This is kind of like the same thing. Like you get a 3-cost card to your hand, you play MODOK, it discards it, Haller brings it back. It seems like Silver Surfer it would work with. It seems kind of like whatever, you just get a random card.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think it's not going to be that like impactful. And then Quantum Realm, when you play a card here, set its base power to 2.
When you play a card here, set its power to 2. Yeah, that's really interesting.
So I guess things like Devil Dino and stuff would be good to play here.
Yeah, you can get a few buffs on some cards. Mr. Negative.
Dark Horse. Of course.
Some other low-powered Iron Man cards. Even, I can't remember the name of it, don't worry. The one that gives you a 1/6 token.
Oh, you're thinking of the Hood?
The Hood? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so I guess it can buff a few cards, but it can also, you can also kind of ignore it with specific ongoing cards. Like Darkhawk doesn't really care. Devil Dino doesn't really care. Like you're losing, 1 power? Like it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal at all.
Cool. So So that's Quantum Realm. So they're the 4 locations. Obviously, we'll talk about each one after they've been released. We'll talk about what we played as we always do. But that's the new location. So that's pretty cool. We also had a bit of there's brand new variants. So there's a list. We get 20 plus new variants to the game this February. So there's a big list of all of them, but we're not going to list them out here. You can see the list in app if you want to check that out. So patch notes from last week, Justin, we had a buff and a nerf. Do you want to go through them?
Yeah, so patch notes from last week. Let me have a look. I guess there's actually a couple of general updates. One of the cool things is you can now change your name within the avatar menu once every 30 days.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, for those who, made a spelling mistake in their name or just regret the choice.
Or Tom.
At least you can go back and change it.
Or our good friend Tom, who everyone thinks is a bot.
Yeah, he can now change his name, although he might not want to because maybe he plays like a bot, so he wants to disguise himself.
Shots fired. Yeah, we said it at the same time. Shots fired. Okay, cool. Yep, so that's a cool change.
Yeah, that's a cool change. There's also, what's this, updated play support conversations now have a red dot notification to let you know response is waiting. That's fine. That's a welcome change. Nothing crazy there.
Quality of life.
Yeah, art and visual effects, they've added a new effect for Ghost Rider when there's no card to play. I actually haven't noticed. I've been playing Ghost Rider in this deck and I haven't really noticed that.
Interesting.
Keep an eye out. But the balance updates, the card updates, that's what we want to hear. They killed my boy Leader. They absolutely killed him.
Dead card.
Yeah, that's what I think. Have you seen Leader played since the patch?
I have not seen Leader once.
Me neither. Not at all. Not once. Leader was what, a 6/3, I think.
And Leader,
And he copied all cards your opponent played, but on your side of the board. Leader is now a 6/7, so he's got a power buff. But the unreveal ability now reads: copy all cards your opponent played to the location to the right, but on your side. So it's a bit to swallow, but basically. If you play Leader on the left location, any cards that your opponent played on the location to the right, which is the middle location, they'll copy onto your side of the board in the middle location also. I think when I first read this, I misread it. I thought that it would just copy all my opponent's cards that they played
at to the right location
that I played Leader. Yeah. Like, weird. But yeah, so... It's not great.
Oh,
it's terrible.
It's unplayable. Terrible. This card will. I'm convinced this card just never gets played again.
It is unplayable.
Yep. So that's. I think everyone's had that conclusion. I think, to be honest, I think people were sick of Leader anyway. So I actually don't think killing the card was that big of a deal. Like, the game is probably better for not having Leader as a card.
Yeah, and I'm also glad that they tried to do something other than just a power or a cost change. Like, I'm not mad that they did that. I'm glad that they're trying to, you know, try new abilities out and work on the actual card effects rather than just, you know, lower the power or up the power when they're doing a buff or a nerf. So I'm glad that they've done it, but like, yeah, no, they've absolutely killed Leader. He dead, will not see play.
Dead card. So I was about to say you heard it here first, but you heard it basically everywhere.
Yep.
It's dead, yep, card.
Dead card.
Cool. And what was the other balance change? I think this was a very welcome one in my opinion.
Yeah, the other was Wolverine. So classic character Wolverine, and didn't see him being used that much. He was a 2/3, I think. And when he was discarded or destroyed, he just regenerated at another random location with the same power. Now Wolverine is a 2/2. And when he's discarded or destroyed, he regenerates at a random location, but with +2 power.
This ability is good with
a +2 power, that is the key, because if you keep destroying Wolverine, he will keep adding 2 power every time. And, you know, if you can destroy him twice, for instance, a 2-cost 6-powered card is great, yeah? And if you can destroy him 3 times, even though it may not happen all that much, like a 2-cost 8-powered card, that's awesome. That's pretty much unheard of.
So yeah.
It's a very welcome change to Wolverine.
I agree. It's very good change. How can you have such a iconic X-Men character with a terrible ability? Now it is a good ability. It's playable. It'll get played in destroy decks. I'm happy. I'm happy with the Wolverine change.
It's really good. It goes hand in hand with cards like Carnage, Venom.
Yep.
It's just really great. Even Galactus. Some Galactus decks were playing Wolverine already, but this just adds to the deck as well. So it's a really good change. Wolverine should see a bit more play. And I've already seen a bit more play from Wolverine.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it was like you could really only play him like effectively in a Galactus deck. Now he can be played in pretty much any destroy deck, which is great.
Yep.
Cool. Yep, so really that good. I believe that was pretty much all the patch notes. Like that was the main things.
Pretty small.
Cool. So we are going to be getting some more patch changes. There's already been rumors that Zabu is going to go down to Zabu's only going to reduce the cost by 1 of cards, and that Silver Surfer would only buff cards by 2 instead of 3 power.
Yep.
So those are the rumored nerfs. We will see if those come to fruition. I'm assuming we'll get that patch sometime this week. So stay tuned for that. Cool. So a couple topics. That's pretty much all the like new season pass content, all the content that's come to Marvel Snap this season. We do have some big news. Infinite Snap, we're going to be running some regular tournaments. We haven't like fully figured out how often they're going to be, but we are planning to do them quite frequently. So the tournaments will be live streamed. So I'm still working out the logistics, but we'll probably live stream them on Twitch. They will be open to all players. It'll be a free tournament. I've got the tournament software and everything set up so people can just sign up. It will be friendly for Oceania. So like the time zone will be like Australian daylight time. It's going to be good for people that live in Australia, New Zealand, parts of Asia. But of course, if people from, you know, America, Europe, you know, they want to play, I mean, feel free to join. All the details, I'm going to post the details again on the Infinite Snap Twitter, so at Infinite Snap Pod, so you'll be able to go and check it out there. But if you join the Discord, we'll have the link to the Discord in the show notes for the podcast and on the YouTube video. You can go join the Discord there. All the tournament information's there. Every tournament that comes out, you'll be able to sign up there. You'll be able to like see, you know, all the other opponents that are in there. It's the best way to, I guess, get into the tournaments. And of course, you guys can chat about the tournaments in there, chat about the podcast. So I really encourage you to jump into the Discord. You can chat with me, you can chat with Justin. So definitely do that. Our plan is to kind of grow this, like grow the tournament as we do it. Like, we don't just want to do like, here's a tournament, play, and then like, that's it. We kind of want to, you know, have, you know, regular people competing in the tournament, you know, keep increasing the numbers, increasing the prizes, things like that. Basically for now, the format's going to be three rounds of Swiss. So everyone will get to play at least three games of battle mode. There'll be single games for now. I'm hoping to do like a best of three thing, but that can be quite time consuming, but you'll get to play at least three games, even if you lose all three. And I kind of want it to be a format where you get to play a few games. Like, you don't want to do single elimination. You play one game, you get eliminated, and that's it. Like, that's boring for everyone. So you get at least three games, and then there'll be the top eight players will play an elimination. So very similar to how a lot of other trading card games do their tournaments. So I'm looking forward to it. Justin, are you excited?
Oh, man, I'm so keen for tournaments. Like, just being a part of a tournament, especially for Marvel Snap, because there are no there haven't been any tournaments, it is absolutely awesome. I cannot wait to participate.
So Justin and I are going to be, of course, commentating some of these games. We're going to have guest commentators. It's going to be a ton of fun. But again, if you want to participate, sign up. We've already got, I believe we've got 10 people already signed up. We only posted it a couple of days ago. Haven't really promoted it much. So those people that have joined, very exciting. First tournament, I've got open for up to 64 players. Obviously, we're only going to be showing one stream from each round. We're not going to be showing, you know, every single game. But we'll be randomly picking those games out, games we think that'll be interesting. You know, the top, you know, as we get further through the tournament, we're going to have the top players. So that's going to be a ton of fun. Super excited. So go and join the tournament. There are prizes. So for the first tournament, there's going to be a season pass up for grabs. So, you know, we'll foot the bill for the next season pass you unlock, and we'll have second and third place prizes as well. Man, I'm just excited. Like, I don't even care about playing in tournaments. I just want to cast them. I want to, you know, commentate. I mean, it's such a fun game. Hang out with the chat, you know, it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be so good to watch. Especially, like, you know, hopefully that we're going to stream some of the games, aren't we?
So basically, yeah. So my plan is each round we will like just pick, you know, an opponent to two players that are versing. One of them will stream their game to us. We will feature that on the stream. Now, all the streams will be delayed by about 10 minutes, obviously. So this is, you know, this is just a way to make it fair for everyone. So people aren't, you know, screen cheating, things like that. So the stream will be slightly delayed, but I mean, it is still live. You're still going to be seeing the games almost in real time. Chat will still be able to talk to each other about what's happening in the games. So yeah, I think that's the best way to run it. I don't want to be streaming it live and then, you know, someone just opens the stream and can see their opponent's hand. That's just like super unfair.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, so figuring out the logistics, it's these sort of things that we're organizing, making sure that everything's fair. And then, of course, we'll chop up each game. We'll split them up from the stream and have them as YouTube videos. So you'll be able to go and watch, you know, if your friend played in a game, you want to go watch the game back, see the strategies, see the decks, things like that. There will be closed deck lists for the first tournament. So basically, you just choose the deck you want to play for that round and you play. So you obviously won't know what your opponent's playing. For the first one, I've got to open all series cards from 1 to 5. I know this can sound like a bit unfair for new players. I thought for the first tournament, let's just see how it goes. Let people use whatever cards they want. And then future tournaments will have restrictions like, you know, series 1, 2, and 3 only. You know, we might do best of 3 where you have to, you know, win 2 of 3 games, things like that. Double eliminations. There's so many like ways we could do it, but I thought we'd do it pretty simple to start with and then we'll just go from there.
It's going to be just so awesome to watch and discuss and commentate games where something, you know, it's your average everyday players, but something big is up for grabs, like bragging rights and season pass and everything. It's just going to be so cool to see.
Dude, there's going to be games where it's like, you know, someone has like 2 HP left and the other player's got 10 HP. And all of a sudden that 2 HP player grinds them down to 0. Yeah. There's going to be moments like that. It's going to be so much fun. So again, if you aren't able to participate in these tournaments, you know, if you live on the other side of the world, don't worry, all this content will be available to watch later. So you're not going to miss out. Man, it's going to be fun. Cool. So that's, the Infinite Snap Open is the name of the tournament. All the links again, they'll be on the Twitter account and they'll be in our Discord. So definitely, get into the Discord, and you know, follow us on Twitter and you'll get all that info. Fantastic. So the last thing we wanted to talk about was premium podcast content. So basically, like up until now, we have been ad-free and we are planning to keep things that way. You know, podcast ads, I mean, they're not super intrusive. They're usually quite short, but I feel like ad-free experience is always preferred. I mean, nothing's worse than opening a YouTube video and you've got to watch an ad. So I like having it ad-free. But of course, so as always, the podcast will always be free to listen to as well. But obviously, you know, with the tournaments, you know, with the, you know, there are costs involved, tournament software, prizing, you know, you and I are running the podcast each week, you know, with microphones, cameras, stream setups, everything like that. So basically, we're going to have a way for you guys to subscribe to the podcast. Basically, it's a $5 subscription per month. So it's quite a small amount, cheaper than Netflix. hopefully, we can provide at least, you know, close to that amount of entertainment. It's all done through Spotify. So Anchor is the software that we use for our Spotify podcast. Basically, if you're already listening on Spotify, you'll be able to subscribe through the Spotify app. But there will also be the link in the show notes to Anchor. You can subscribe there. It's basically the exact same thing. It's just for those people that prefer not to listen on Spotify. But of course, I want to tell you what you actually get with that subscription. So you'll obviously be contributing to the podcast, you know, allowing us to improve it. Of course, things like that. We're going to have premium podcast episodes. So these are going to be shorter episodes where we're going to do things that we don't really have time to do in our main podcast episodes. Things like, you know, getting to know Shadow and Justin, you know, a bit more in depth, you know, the things outside of Marvel Snap that we like to do. So like question Q&As like that, the subscribers, you guys can ask us questions. We want to involve you in some of the content as well. We're going to have some Marvel Snap challenges for Justin and I to do. So there's going to be a ton of stuff like that. And of course, if you are subscribed to the bonus content, we want to know what you guys want to see. So definitely let us know. Of course, don't feel obliged that you have to subscribe to the podcast. You know, we always want this to be a free podcast. But I do know, I saw an article that, like, you know, people are happy to, you know, provide a little bit of money to the podcast they enjoy. I've like subscribed to some Patreons for podcasts I listen to because I get so much free stuff out of them. I'm kind of, and some of these guys don't even provide bonus content. And I'm like, man, to pay $5 a month for, like, you know, you guys drop, you know, four or five podcasts a month. I'm like, man, there's like 5-6 hours of content I'm getting for free. So, yeah. I'm always happy to do that kind of thing. Small amount of money, you know, it's not going to break the bank. But of course, don't feel that you have to. We want everyone to have access to the podcast. So you'll get some bonus episodes. You'll be supporting tournaments, so prizing for tournaments. You'll be helping us out with that. If we have any special guests on the show, I like to be able to give them a little bit of something just to thank them for taking the time. I mean, time isn't free. People have things they have to do. They have jobs. So being able to give them a little bit of money for being a guest is a great way to, you know, have people want to be on the show and be, you know, thankful for us having them. Of course, you will also get a, this is the big one, you'll get a shout out at the end of every episode of Infinite Snap. Pretty good perk, in That's my opinion. Fun. Pretty good perk. And in our Discord, you'll get a special Discord role to show that you are a subscriber, supporter, whatever you want to call it. But I want you guys to know that none of this money will go to like me or Justin directly. Like it's, we both have full-time jobs. Like the podcast has always been something we do because we enjoy it, not because we're trying to, you know, we're not trying to become the next, you know, big money Logan Paul or anything.
Not at all. So no, definitely not. The point you're trying to make is, you know, if you give to the podcast, then we can give back to you guys. So like, I think it's definitely important. I just want to highlight, as Shadow said before, like, tell us what you want to see. I know one of the ideas that I had when Shadow asked me about some bonus content, and something that I'll add to that as well right now is I'm a big fan of, I know Shadow did some videos, YouTube videos on these a while ago, but some drafts, and I would be like really keen to do some battle mode drafts against Shadow. I think that's an awesome idea.
Damn, that would be so much fun.
Little sneak peek there, but like that would be so fun to do and so fun to see. So just some small things like that. And if you have any other ideas, definitely let us know.
Justin's called it the battle mode draft. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, we want to thank all the listeners that we've had up until now. You know, it's, you know, doing a podcast, like starting the podcast, I didn't think it would like gain as much traction as it has. You know, we are from Australia, you know, we're a smaller country than, you know, a lot of people that are making content for Marvel Snap. So it's really cool to see how much support we've had. So we look forward to making many more episodes, and we're really excited to, I guess, have this subscription thing. Like it's not something that we plan to, like, you know, we don't expect a lot of people to subscribe to it, but those that do will be eternally grateful. And I mean, you're going to be supporting the show getting better, getting more content, tournaments. Like it's a big help, and I really appreciate it. But of course, we appreciate every listener as always. Justin, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? I mean, there was so much content that came out this week. I'm like trying to rack my brain to make sure we don't miss anything.
I don't think we've missed anything. I think we've pretty much gone through everything. I don't think there's much else. We definitely still need to get through Snap Who.
Of course.
Yeah.
I didn't have that on my show notes, but I have prepared something for you to guess.
Yeah.
Cool. So guys, Snap Who, everyone's favorite quiz, Marvel Snap quiz. Quick run through of the rules. I have chosen a location for Justin this week. He's going to look at an image of the location. His job is to guess the name of the location and the ability of the location. You get a point for each one you get right, so you can get a maximum of 2 points. We currently have the tally. Justin and I have both had one guess, and we both are on 0 points, which is pretty bad. We've been doing pretty well last year, but this year we've done pretty awful. I'm going to bring up the image now. Okay, so the image is there on screen, Justin. Do you have the image up?
I do have the image up.
All right, so talk it through us. Explain the image to us for the audio listeners.
All right, so the image we have, I'm a little bit excited because I actually recognize something from this image. So the image we have is like a big building. It's kind of like a building front that we can see with a door, a big door actually. There's a guard on either side of the door, and there's also two statues on either side of the door, very large statues. The building is like, it looks like, I don't know, there's some line work that's like lit up. It looks really cool. Colors are like, you know, brownish with a little bit of green and reds. You can also see the sky up there. It looks cloudy. But my main focus or my attention goes to these statues on either side of the door.
Okay, yeah, now, what are these statues, Justin?
So one of them looks like a panther, right?
Yes.
And statue looks like black, but it's got like this tinge of purple. And yep. straight away, I just think Black Panther, right?
Okay.
Now, I know that there's a few locations that come from Black Panther. One of them is like the Wakandan Embassy, I think it's called, and that's like cards can't be destroyed here. It's not that. The other one's Shuri's Lab, and that doubles the power of cards that you play there. It's not that either.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure, and now I just can't remember the name of it, but I'm pretty sure this is the one that gives your every card in your hand +2 power.
Okay.
But I really can't remember the name of it.
Yep.
Or maybe that is... Okay, I think I'm getting mixed up here. I think this is Wakandan Embassy, and I think the one where your cards can't be destroyed is Wakanda.
Okay.
But I really don't remember. All right. I'm going to stick with that because this just seems like an embassy to me. This seems like the building that represents Wakanda, but on Earth. I don't know. That's what I'm going with. So I'm going to say that the name of this location is Wakandan Embassy, and the ability is each card in your hand gains +2 power.
Oof, I was getting a bit nervous for you. This is Wakandan Embassy.
Yes.
And the ability is give +2 power to cards in players' hands. Yes. So you are correct. That is 2 points on the board.
I saved myself there. I almost mucked it up.
Yeah, I was like, is he actually going to... You said Wakandan Embassy, but you said the wrong ability.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's Wakanda. He's so close. But yeah, you're right. Wakanda is like an image of Wakanda, whereas yes, this is a building. So you're definitely correct there. Well done, Justin. 2 points on the board. We will add them we'll add them to the overlay so everyone can see your... you will be a 2-cost because you've guessed twice and a 2-power card. So you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger now. Stronger Marvel Snap card.
2-2.
It's okay. Cool. So guys, before we finish up the show, enter the tournament if you want to. If you're excited for tournaments, you want to support Infinite Snap Podcast, you want to try and win some prizes, maybe be featured on the stream, definitely jump in the Discord or head to our Twitter to join that. Join the Discord. There's people in there chatting about the game. We've got battle mode, so drop a code in there. Justin and I, or there's many other people in there that'll be happy to play some games with you. Follow us on Twitter at Infinite Snap Pod. Tons of content on there. We've got stuff for the featured locations, hot locations, some quick guides so you can jump straight in and play the right cards and decks as well as, you know, all the latest Marvel Snap news. And we'll give you some more updates on the premium podcast content, ideas, things that we're going to do. We will have that. It's not set up right now, but we're going to record a bonus episode sometime in the next week or so. And once that's up, we'll open it up for subscriptions. I don't really want people subscribing without any bonus stuff available. So we'll definitely do that. Again, don't feel that you have to subscribe. We're never going to expect anyone to. But if you feel like it, definitely do it. You know, it's cancel anytime. You know, it's a monthly subscription, so you know you're not locked into it or anything. But other than that, thanks so much for hanging out with us as always, man. We had a ton of content to get through, but I think we smashed it out of the park.
Yeah, definitely. I also want to say that you know how Shadow knows how bad I am with like Discord and some other apps that I don't use that often, and Discord notifications, for some reason, don't really come up on my phone. So, like, when someone messages in the chat, I don't really see it straight away. But I'm definitely going to have a look at that straight after recording this episode. And I'm going to change that because I play Marvel Snap a lot. And definitely, if I see people posting codes in the chat, in the Discord, I'll definitely jump on and give you guys a game. So, I'll have a look at that right now.
Notifications for Discord can be a bit... because you can change them per, like... like not just channel, but chats. So it can be a bit funny like that. But I'll help you out with it if you need some assistance. Cool, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for another episode of Infinite Snap. Justin, thanks so much. We got through a ton of stuff. Like we smashed it out. Usually these episodes can get quite long, but we got through a ton of content pretty quickly, actually. Justin, I'll catch you. I'm home tomorrow. I'm back from holidays, so I'm going to be doing some content, working on the tournament, things like that. So looking forward to casting with you and doing more episodes as always. So thanks again, listeners. We will catch you next week.
See you guys.
See ya.